This is In the Post on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes and Joe George.
Welcome into In the Post right here on SB Nation Radio. It's Joe George, the Hall of Famer Elvin Hayes here with you. And right now, we're going to head back out to the guest line, the Quicken Loans guest line. We'll welcome in Mike Fratello. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. And how you doing?
I'm doing great. And it's a real honor to be able to join you guys, particularly Mr. Hayes. Long time. Go back many, many years watching you during your great, great days of playing both in college and in the NBA.
You bet, my friend. And it was, you know, playing against some of your great teams as well.
Yeah, they probably were all L's for our team. That's
You know, Mike, you spent a lot of time coaching in the NBA. You've coached, I think it's the top 10 games of all time, or top 20 games of all time, and you have a top 20 wins of all time as well in the regular season. How much has the game changed from a coaching perspective? Because a lot of times we talk to former players on this show, but how has this game changed today in the, from a coaching side, from when you were coaching to what it is now?
Well, the game has changed, and probably the one thing that jumps out at you is the three-point line, number of attempts. You know, we're seeing teams now take 50 three-point attempts at the game. The three-point line is such a devastating weapon. It has such an impact on the game, particularly with the 24-second clock. You know, coaching is coaching, but the style of play, putting the rosters together, making salary cap work, balancing it all out and determining what system you want to play and how do you want to play. If you have two big guys like New Orleans had before Cousins went down, what do you say? We're going to get rid of one of them because they're not a three-point shooter like the stretch four in Houston, for example, Anderson, or you know, you can go around the league and find your stretch fours. Or do you play to what you have, the two big men, which could dominate a lot of teams? But you know, sometimes there's a pressure from within the organization, pressure for the fans, that you're not scoring enough points, or is it just about winning and trying to win a championship and adjusting to who you have and what the talent is that those particular guys have? All of that goes into a very long answer to a question that I didn't want that long.
Mike, I know you had a very successful coaching career. You also worked with Hubie Brown down in Atlanta, and you coached that team. And you had some really great players down there. I know when we played you guys back, it was almost like a thing. You guys prepared us for the championship that we won up in Washington. But do you look at, you know, with the Nets now, I know you're doing the radio with the Nets organization, you know, and I always look at it with the Knicks and the Nets in New York. I think that one day they're going to have a winning team out of one of those organizations.
No question about it. And no matter how hard Brooklyn tries, the Knicks are the Knicks. And it's really going to be difficult for them to unseat the Knicks from being the favorite in the majority of the fans' hearts. But I think Brooklyn's trying hard. They're doing everything right, taking over a situation that was near impossible when Sean Marks went in there and hired Kenny Atkinson. We have to remember that for three straight years, their first-round pick had been given away. Mm. They did the job of trying to put a championship team together overnight, sold their souls a little bit for down the road to try and win with Garnett, with Pierce, with the group that they had. Mm. And it just didn't work out. And then when everybody went in their different directions and the new group came in, they were left with nothing to start with. So this is a process of Brooklyn trying to piece it back together, understanding it's going to be a long-term thing. Now, for the Knicks, it's a little bit harder to understand why right now the Knicks cannot be attractive to major free agents, why they can't get guys to come in there and play for them and have that winning team that New York is craving for, because I think we all know how wild and insane the fans would be if the Knicks were back on top of basketball once again.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you and Elvin both. If New York had a team, it would be great. But you mentioned that at the beginning there about Brooklyn versus the Knicks. Doing stuff with the Yes Network, if let's say Brooklyn goes on a 10-game win streak and the Knicks go on a 10-game losing streak, so do you still think the Knicks will always be that big story no matter what Brooklyn does?
Well, for now, there will be. Brooklyn would have to take over and win consistently. And, you know, right now, Brooklyn's dropped every game this season that they played against the Knicks. You're not going to win over the fans and become number one by losing the series to your neighbor, okay, who's, you know, you're in Brooklyn, they're in Manhattan. You've got to win that series, okay? That's the subway series with people going back and forth taking the subway. And when you get swept and lose every game, you're not going to get a foothold with the fans and following it. They're not going to believe in you. But when that happens down the road, when Sean Marks is there with Kenny Atkinson and they get a chance to put enough pieces together that can compete on a regular basis, then you have to hope that you start stealing away some of those Knicks fans, because if the Knicks don't do it and Brooklyn finally turns it around, not just for one season, but consistently where the people say, yeah, wasn't it the Jets trying to do it against the Giants way, way back?
Mm.
Finally, the Jets gained a little credibility when they win the Super Bowl. So it's going to take something like that, I think, to steal the majority of the fans away.
You know, Mike, looking at it, you know, the Knicks have always tried to go out and build their team around a superstar. They tried to do it with Spencer Haywood. They tried to do it with McAdoo, and they tried to do it along the way with different players. Now that you're hearing the rumors and you're hearing the rumblings around the league that you know, Cleveland want to move LeBron James and LeBron want to move away from Cleveland, do you think there's any hope or any chance that to try to lure a name in a talent such as LeBron James to New York?
Well, weren't they hoping that Carmelo was going to be that star that gave
yeah.
him the identity factor?
You're exactly right.
I mean, they tried with Carmelo, and the problem was Carmelo couldn't do it by himself.
No.
The other pieces surrounding Carmelo were not good enough at that time to turn them into a Eastern Conference champion, okay, to get that first seed and to wind up moving on ultimately to the finals. So then they moved Carmelo out of there, and now you're starting over with Porzingis being the featured piece of that Knicks team. And, you know, you would think because it's New York, you would think because of what players would be able to do on the outside, away from basketball, that New York would be attractive. But you're dealing with agents here, and agents convince their players who good front offices are, who good organizations are. That's why people want to go to Boston right now. That's why people want to go to Golden State right now.
Mm.
They want to go to Houston right now because that's what the agents are telling them. These are the best organizations. They pay money, they do things in a first-class manner, and they win basketball games.
Yes.
Mike, when you look at this team, I mean the NBA now, and from your coaching experience, how do you stop teams from getting beat down knowing that the Warriors are just so good? How do you keep a positive message in a locker room with the way the NBA is set up right now with just a couple dominant teams?
Well, your question to me is you're coming from a negative perspective there. You're almost telling me that I'm going to walk in my locker room and tell my team, look, we can't beat these guys. They're really too good. I never operated that way. I kind of operated differently. Like, if it was a really good team, I try and put something there out in front of them, why we want to knock these guys off tonight, what it would do for our organization, what it would do for us, whether it was in the standings, in the playoff race, gaining home court advantage, a feather in your cap that you would knock this team off. That's how I approach most things. I mean, I don't think I could ever walk in a locker room and say, we have no chance against these guys
yeah.
tonight. They're really good.
Mike, you know, in about a couple of weeks, the All-Star break is going to be coming. And already there have been about three jobs opening up, and there'll probably be more but come All-Star break. You know, what is happening in the league? What is owners and general managers expecting out of these coaches when you're not giving them the kind of talent they need to really compete against the four or five teams that have stacked themselves?
I think we've hurt ourselves from one perspective by allowing players to come out of college after 1 year and put their names in the draft for the NBA. I am not a big fan of that. I think these young players need to stay in school longer, develop the skills, develop their game, develop their body, develop their mind to understand how hard it is to succeed. Because what happens is we've got a bunch of youngsters sitting on the bench that never get in the games, that were first-round picks, and they were told They were the greatest thing since sliced bread from their high school days, from the AAU coaches. Mm-hmm. And now they come in, they don't get any playing time. So what do? They go to their agents and they say they're unhappy and they want to be traded and they want to get out of there. And it's all because they were convinced that you're starting your contract process now. It doesn't matter if you don't play. You're getting the first contract out of the way. Now you can make big money on your second contract. Mm. And I look back at some of the players, okay, Jermaine O'Neal, okay, being one of them, that 4 years he sat and didn't get a chance to play. And then finally when they trade him away from Portland, I guess it was to Indiana, if I remember,
yes,
he turned into an all-star caliber type player. People went, it's a different environment, a different setting. That's what. No, it's setting for 4 years. He grew up, he matured, he practiced every day, and he got better. Because now he wasn't 18 or 19 years old. He was 23, 24 years old with 4 years of NBA practices and experience, but he didn't play in the games a lot.
Yes.
And that's, when you get these youngsters who come in and they just don't get it. You may have a LeBron James every so often. You may have a Moses Malone every so often. But that's not the norm. That's not who these young guys are coming in. They're not ready. The majority of them. We've made so much out of the ball kid out in L.A., and he's an okay player, but I'm not going to come on the air and say this guy is sensational or this guy is great. He hasn't shown me greatness yet.
That's true.
And he's gotten hurt already. He's a youngster. He's got to get stronger. He's got to mature. Can he be great someday? Perhaps. And when he is, I'll be the first to say he's a great player now. Mm. But to make somebody great that hasn't really accomplished anything, I don't think it's fair to them. I don't think it's fair to the rest of the guys in the league.
He is former NBA coach and with NBA TV Now and Yes Network, Mike Fratello. Mike, thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll do this again down the line.
Guys, thank you. Biggie, always great to talk to you.
Great coach. Thank you so very much.
All right, buddy.
We'd like to once again thank Mike Fratello, former NBA coach from the Yes Network and NBA TV, for joining us here on In the Post on SB Nation Radio. Next, Bob McAdoo joins us here, myself, Joe George, and Elvin Hayes on In the Post.